Hey, everybody. As the co-host of your Chillpack Hollywood Hour, it's always delightful to shoot the transatlantic breeze with the UK Midweek Drive team. Together, we aim to provide the best possible audio backdrop for political sanity in the 21st century. This is Phil Lernis, reporting from the middle ground between science and superstition. And you have entered the podcast zone.
Slow travel. Have you heard of it? Have you encountered the whole thing before? Is it simply a case of slow travel? Well, what do we expect with the state of public transport and indeed cars and such like these days? Well, let's find out. Let's find out how slow travel can also enhance your holiday experience and be environmentally sustainable. And we're delighted to actually welcome two fabulous individuals with respect to this. First of all, the Managing Director of Explore Worldwide. That's the wonderful Michael Edwards. How are you, Michael?
I'm good, thanks, Alex.
Excellent. We've also got the writer of The Green Traveller, of course. That's the wonderful Richard Hammond. How are you, Richard?
Very well, thanks, Alex.
Richard, let's talk a little bit about slow travel from the green traveller's perspective, which isn't necessarily saying you should actually dress in green or sort of paint yourself green, etc. It's very much an environmental aspect, I'm presuming.
Yes, that's right. I mean, it has wider ramifications, not just about the environment. You know, it's also about, you know, helping fund local economies. And that's just an important part of it as well. I think it's really about sort of making more informed holiday choices to make our holidays more sustainable in general. And I think, you know, slow travel, just like the slow food movement, is, you know, is about savouring the taste of locally distinctive food. And slow travel is about savouring the journey of distinctive places that we love to visit. So there are similarities there. Yeah,
certainly the findings that suggest that more than half of people actually want to travel more sustainably, and 45% actually like the idea of slower travel to do so, does tend to suggest that this is very much a growing movement for understandable reasons. So, I mean, Michael, from your own perspective, is this something which, again, you're keen to enhance and embrace?
Yeah, look, absolutely. We've been offering sort of sustainable experiences for 41 years now. And our customers absolutely love that style of travel, that immersive experience where you really get into the heart and soul of a destination. And I think two things since the pandemic and also since the growing awareness, particularly since COP26 for most people around, you know, the challenges around climate change, people definitely want to travel in a different way. They want to have a bit less of a carbon their carbon footprint to be less impactful. And I think they just want more immersive experiences, just to really enjoy that, you know, that romance of traveling, doing it a bit more slowly, taking a bit more time, and really feeling that you're in the heart of a destination as opposed to whizzing in and whizzing out.
And of course, your company is also very much demonstrated by actions and deeds, not words, that you're committed to this, because you grant an additional day of leave for your employees who wish to travel sustainably. And again, that would obviously sort of be something which other businesses could consider doing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. This is something we're excited to launch to our staff this week. We want all customers and staff to travel more sustainably if they can. And the best way to promote that is to kind of put our money where our mouth is. So if a staff member wants to travel to Europe on their holidays by train, we acknowledge that's going to take a little bit longer. So rather than, you know, penalize them and take away their leave in order to do that, we're going to give them that additional time in order that they can travel more slowly, more sustainably. So if you go to Europe by train and come back by train and that takes 2 days, we'll give our staff an extra 2 days in order to enable them to do that, so that they still get their full amount of leave to experience the destination and have a great time while they're there. So, and yeah, we'd love to see other companies pick this up. We think it will really, really change things in terms of people taking different options in the way that they do travel.
Richard, is the train the answer to everything? I mean, certainly recent information suggests that a little bit extra heat and the train tracks will actually buckle and they won't be able to use them at all.
Well, I mean, there's a step difference if you're looking at, you know, carbon emissions of travelling overland to flying. So, I mean, coach travel as well is, you know, it is even greener. But I think, you know, if you look at that difference between, you know, putting a huge great ton of metal up 30,000 feet, you know, of course, it's going to require a lot of energy to do that. And, you know, it's going to be much more carbon efficient to travel overland. So there is a step difference. Is in the UK, traveling overland is probably 5 or 6 times more efficient. In Europe, where the trains are even greener, it's more like 10 times. And that is a huge difference to your annual carbon footprint, you know, which we're all increasingly trying to reduce. And, you know, Explore's market research is saying that people want to travel more sustainably. And it's great that, you know, companies like Explore are now providing the means for them to do that. And it really means that actually the options are there. It's no longer a pie in the sky idea. It's actually you can change the way you holiday now.
Holidays, of course, historically kind of emerged really in the Victorian period, I suppose, when it was a case of a trip to the seaside for those fortunates who would actually sort of get a chance to take time off from the factory and so on. Do you feel maybe we need to return to that and actually consider actually abandoning the notion that it became so popular during the 60s and 70s with low-cost air travel, etc., of flying to other countries? Maybe we need to stay at home.
Well, I think we do need to be less casual about flying. I think that, flying off 1 month to somewhere and then somewhere else the next is, you know, it's clearly unsustainable. And, you know, when we're getting fantastic overland experiences in this country, you know, you just have to, you know, we all saw a lot more of the hyperlocal during lockdown. And, you know, it's about balancing that. Weekends at home, longer holidays abroad, you know, such as Explorer doing. I love their trip that they're offering now to Morocco. You know, it's a 3-week trip. You get to travel across Europe and then down through and across to Africa. And it's such a brilliant way to travel. And I think that those kinds of holidays are the ones that we should be aspiring to.
And Michael, clearly the title of the company Explore Worldwide suggests that actually staying at home is not necessarily a good business model to actually adopt. Let's talk a little bit about the fact that, yeah, again, we look back over the years and the Grand Tour, as it used to be referred to for young individuals and people who would actually travel through Europe. Is that something which, again, using the train and using things like the London to rail journey system can actually sort of help that without, as say, necessarily getting into carbon debt?
Yeah, look, absolutely. And Richard talked about it. It's about a balance, right? We want people to travel and enjoy, you know, travel is one of the great things that we can do in life. So if we can encourage people to do that in a way that's a bit more responsible. And you look back at those Grand Tour days, it, you know, the romance of that. And then you go back to when I was first a traveler, interrailing, it was all done on the train. That was my first experience of Europe. So we're finding ways to kind of combine those, that sort of notion. So we've got lots of rail trips now through Europe where you're hopping about from city to city on the train. In fact, last week I did a mini grand tour of Italy all by train, you know, getting the train into Venice, the one of the most romantic stations you can get into by train. You just don't get that experience flying into the airport. So I definitely think we're going to see much more of that, back to the days of Grand Tour and interrailing, if you like, however you experienced it in the past. I think that's definitely a trend towards that.
In terms of potentially one of the most stressful aspects of traveling by train, getting the connection, does Explore Worldwide actually provide fairly safe and secure ways of actually ensuring that you don't say, oh, I've just missed that train. Oh, dear, I've got to try and find something completely different from another station entirely?
Look, the great things about like air travel, occasionally you'll run into a problem or two with the connection. But the great thing about rail travel is there's normally another train pretty soon or an alternative route. So all of our itineraries are designed to have good connection times. The last thing we want is people stressing. But in those rare cases where there is a problem, I think train offers a lot more options and a lot more flexibility than flight. So I think for the most part, people are going to find the experience a better one than flying.
And Richard, does this sound as though it's the ideal solution to actually sustainable tourism and traveling green?
Well, it is. And I think, you know, Explore's research has shown that people want to travel in a greener way and their options are now available. And what a more pleasurable, more civilized way it is of traveling. And it's not, of course, just it's not just about the traveling on the train. It's also about connecting with fantastic experiences, you know, and immersing yourselves in those countries that you're visiting, getting to know, you know, how other people live and what their national parks are like and what their local food is like. And, you know, it's surely the way forward for sustainability.
And I don't think Agatha Christie, when she wrote Murder on the Orient Express, necessarily thought it could be sustainable, but who knows, maybe it's something else that could be developed from that point of view. Where can people find out further information about Explore Worldwide, Michael?
Yeah, if they visit our website at explore.co.uk, all of our tours and all of the information about them is right there.
And you mentioned you just returned from a mini tour of Italy. Richard, where was your last adventure?
Oh, well, I went over to Albania, took the train to Italy, and then got the ferry over from Bari in southeast Italy over to Durrës in Albania. Wonderful trip. And and then came back on a Flixbus and then the train back to Paris the weekend of the premier of the Champions League. So it was quite busy, not many hotels available, but it was just a wonderful way to travel. You know, whizzing through Italy on the train is something else, and I highly recommend it.
Richard Hammond, a writer, of course, just a plug for your website, Richard, it is?
Oh, it's greentraveller.co.uk, and the book is published by Pavilion Books. It's called The Green Traveller.
Fantastic. Richard Hammond, author of The Green Traveller, and, of course, Michael Edwards, Managing Director of Explore Worldwide. Happy travelling.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
Well, we've just been listening to slow travel and the whole essence of slow travel. Now, somebody who possibly doesn't engage in slow travel because she moves around like a whirling dervish is, of course, our regular Canadian correspondent extraordinaire. It's the fabulous Abby LeMay. How are you, Abby?
Hello, I'm good. Good to be back. How are you?
Well, always good to see you, Abby. It's like it perks us up no end. It's just knowing that you're actually back with us and sorting things through. So great stuff there. And as you can see, we've got a nice, interesting background in the sort of system there. That might change, but we just don't know. It's radio, so who cares? So share with us, Abby, whereabouts in Canada are you based?
So I am Toronto based, so that would be sort of Southern Ontario. So right close to the US border where all the scary things are happening. But at least it's not the States.
Yeah, well, that's very important, you know, to ensure that things are sorted through on that effect, especially when, you know, we hear so much about what goes on south of the Maple Line. It's time to actually kind of ensure that people north of the Maple Line are kind of secure and safe and sorted out on that. And you're a keen traveller because obviously you've done a whole range of globetrotting. I mean, that's one of the reasons you connected with Midweek Drive when you were at the University of Lincoln. But I mean, it's not really a fashion, it's a kind of general drive towards actually getting more mindful in terms of our travelling, not necessarily flying all over the place, looking at sustainability, looking at maybe taking the train, taking various other sort of aspects. So when you're sort of travelling through the sort of areas of Toronto, you go into its own particular way. Is that something you're a fan of?
Of course. I mean, I always vouch for, you know, sustainability. And in Toronto, we've got a great transit system. Well, maybe I shouldn't say great, but we've got a pretty good transit system. So it's really easy for people to, you know, cut down on driving. You know, there are rent bikes that you can take around. So, you know, whenever you get the chance to, you know, skip out on the gas, you can take it, right?
But then it causes global warming and actually gives Lincolnshire the highest temperatures ever in terms of 40.2 degrees centigrade, which I think is over 100 Fahrenheit. So, you know, that's a recent system. So what's the weather been like in Toronto? Has it been cool? Has it been bearable? I mean, we know you get used to all sorts of things. What's the situation like?
It's very, very hot over here. It's been around 30 degrees for the past week. So yeah, we're all sweating it out over here just as much as I know you guys were, you know, suffering through that heat wave over there too.
Well, you know, every so often we like to sort of push the boundaries a little bit on these particular Zoom links. And even though the listener is not necessarily aware of this, but I might actually sort of reveal this in some way, shape or form when we actually start releasing these things on YouTube. Maybe it's time that I actually replaced myself with my real sort of avatar, which, as you can see there, is a cute cuddly panda. Yay!
My gosh, I swear you are much more tech savvy than I am. It's incredible.
But Abby, I figure that at the end of the day, you know, I wanted to release the inner panda, even though it can be a little bit warm. So that's what I've actually done. I have kind of released my inner panda and you just let it out. It's wonderful. You know, with Toronto in the background and an inner panda from that point of view, I feel where else can we go, really? I mean, it may, of course, just stay on that system.
That's amazing.
So, I mean, I think I'll continue actually wearing this because it feels quite comfortable, you know, a panda in a hoodie. That's very important. I mean, there are other options we could actually go for. In fact, we could actually sort of select a range of sort of key things just on that basis alone. your career, Abby, because this is something obviously we're concerned about. I mean, we see you obviously as Abby LeMay superstar, you know, inevitably that's part of the whole thing. We know that you'd be part of a whole range of other bits and pieces. Have you stopped your work as a supporting artist, and are you still pursuing your dream of being an actress?
I have definitely put it on the back burner, sadly. Sad to admit, but it's just difficult living in Toronto. It's one of the more expensive cities, and rent, you know, is there. So I found a job that I am excelling in. I've always been a customer service girl. I like making connections with people. And so thank God I found this job that can support my life. But I'm also having fun doing it. So I'm hoping that I can create myself a little nest egg with, you know, the opportunities I have now, and then I can kind of pursue my dreams again as full on as I wanted to before COVID happened.
Yeah, it's important. I mean, that's the sort of classic line on that sort of system. As you can see, I've kind of moved on to obviously unleash another one of my little beasts here, just to ensure that life continues. It's very, very sort of important. I mean, I'd get the chirpy hamster out as well, but I figure that would be just too much. When are you next likely to be heading back to Europe? I mean, what's the thing? Because, you know, we know that Canada loves you. We know that effectively North America needs more Abby LeMay, but the globe, the world needs more Abby. So when are the plans afoot for you possibly getting over the plate, even if you take a slow boat across the Atlantic Ocean?
I am desperate to get back. I am definitely having withdrawals because the last time I was there was in November. And then it's so funny because COVID was just ending around that time, or so we thought, and then it picked right back up with the new variant. So now that everything's kind of settled down again, I'm hoping to come back in November, December, because I really just need to. I just feel like I need more of the UK in my veins. Like I need like my fix. So I'm hoping before the end of the year, and if not, early next year.
Yeah, I mean, you can see that, obviously, just the very thought there, like a faithful hound dog, I've sort of become that, you know, we need you to sort of come back on this. I mean, really, you should actually be looking to release some, I mean, I feel as though we're really giving new visualization to radio in terms of this interview and the way it's actually operating. In fact, there are only people that actually say I should be using these avatars as a teaching thing, as part of the course, really, but so it goes.
It's my favorite thing.
So what else have you been getting up to, Abby, in terms of, I mean, obviously, we know that you're currently sort of doing some wonderful stuff as a pharmaceutical sales rep, which is great. That doesn't mean she's pushing drugs. Trust me, she's sort of supporting the whole system from that point of view. So what things have you been doing? How does that slot into your grand LeMay plan?
I mean, really, I haven't been doing very much else but focusing on work. Just trying to get some revenue in my way. But yeah, I mean, I don't find that I particularly have a plan. And I feel like if you ask people around my age who graduated from university mid-COVID, they
survival, that's the plan.
Yeah, it's survival mode. It's hard to make plans when everything has seemed so uncertain the past couple of years. So right now, Abby is going with the flow. She's pushing on through, and she's prioritizing work. She is prioritizing, you know, a healthy lifestyle, and obviously travel is very important to me. So you know, I've got my little savings account, putting money in it, hoping to book another flight sooner rather than later.
And I'm not sure whether you ever encountered a series called Warehouse 13, which I think was shot mostly in Vancouver and shot there, because Eddie McClintock from Warehouse 13 will be joining us on the Midweek Drive very shortly, so an interesting line from that line to pursue, but that'll be as on Wednesday evening, when of course it'll be 7 p.m. UK time, which again you might be out and about driving at that stage, I suspect.
Yes, I will be at work because that would be 2 p.m. I believe.
Yeah, that's exactly so. And you see, clearly you need to get equipped with a portable Zoom facility so you can actually quite literally, as some of our correspondents do. Take the actual midweek drive whilst you're actually driving, you know. Well, obviously, you know, you'd pull over to one side, but you'd actually be in a car, shall we say. Yeah. Or you'd have somebody driving for you, because health and safety is very important in all our particular sort of aspects, and that's this side of things there. So we've recently seen, in terms of your particular generation of midweek drivettes, Beth has of course graduated successfully with her master's degree, so she's succeeded on that basis. Ben Lewis, of course, has also gone on to thrive and is based in London, and is doing all sorts of other areas. I say that the dark side to your bright side, Abby, as we frequently used to say. And I think Eloise Sheehan has actually given birth. So there we are. She's now, as I say, a proud mum of, I keep wanting to say Josh, but it isn't Josh. And I know it's definitely not Josh. It's a human being of some shape or form, unlike obviously myself. But we'll get that sorted through from that point of view. Was it Sam? No. Anyway, if Eloise is listening to this, she probably won't be. It's just a different line from there. And I think I'll just change the background there, because obviously a hound dog. We're looking at a variety of other things, and it's worth going to that. Or we could always go for dragon boat racing, because dragon boat racing is the next stage that I'm thinking about. Have you ever taken part in this? Do they have dragon boat races in Canada?
You know what? They do. And I have never taken part of it, but my brother has. My younger brother used to volunteer at the dragon boat races all the time. So it's so funny that you bring that up. But yes.
We do our research, Abby. That's the important thing. We do our research. You know, we like to ensure that there's full, you know, our Abby LeMay dossier, as we like to say, the Al dossier, is kept up to date here.
It's so funny because it is connected to me in some very strange way. Now you've got the dragon boats and it's kind of in the legacy. My younger brother was volunteering with the dragon boats for all those years.
Yeah. And what about yourself? Did you ever get the chance to actually either decorate one of the dragon boats or take part in the whole thing? Or was that just a case of no?
Sadly, no. I was very busy in high school. I was taking all of these dance classes and I had this, that, and the other to do. So that was his volunteer activity of choice. A lot of my volunteer activities were, with the church, really. I don't know if that's classic in Southern Ontario or anywhere else, but I did a lot of church work, so...
It's good to actually see that balance is maintained. So that's great. And let's talk about Abby's cultural aspects, because when you're not actually doing your driving around and doing all the rest of the sort of bits and pieces, have you been catching up with any movies recently? Have you been returning to the cinema? Has there been any particular TV series that you're kind of hooked on? What sort of things have you been going for?
Well, don't be disappointed. I'm just going to break out with this one first. I have been watching a lot of reality television, so it's kind of taken hold on me. There's been a lot of binges of long season of women who don't like each other. But on the more cultured side, I have made my way back into the theaters. I've just recently saw the new Elvis movie. I went to go see The Black Phone with Ethan Hawke just this past Tuesday, and that was wonderful. So I'm like trying to get back into the scary movies. So that I think is where my heart lies. I have kind of wandered over to rom-coms and I'm working my way back into horror films. So I'm hoping to go see Jordan Peele's Nope pretty soon. That's next on the list.
Well, that can be quite scary, as many a wolf would actually say. Richard Fitzwilliams, of course, very blown away with the Baz Luhrmann Elvis Presley movie. And that brings me to another little quick question. What Elvis musical number do you most resonate with, or do you most enjoy? Or is it a case of, no, I can't stand Elvis Presley, I just want to go and see the movie because of the visuals?
No, not at all. I think I might be a little bit basic in saying this, but I do love Can't Help Falling in Love. That is just the best Elvis song out there, really and truly, in my personal opinion. It's just one of the best romantic songs I really have ever experienced. So it was lovely to have seen it in the film, but I was a little bit disappointed because they didn't actually play, you know, Elvis singing it. They played Kacey Musgraves, who is also a wonderful artist, but I did want to hear Elvis sing it, so I was a little bit disappointed.
Well, then, as wise men say, only fools rush in. But I can't help falling in love with you. Here comes Elvis, just for you, Abby.
Oh.
Wise men say, only fools rush in, but I can't. Shall I stay? Would it be a sin if I can't help falling in love with you? Like a river flows surely to the sea, darling, so it goes. Some things are meant to be. Take my hand, take my whole life too, for some things are meant to be. Take my hand, take my whole life too, for I can't help falling in love.
Listening to the Midweek Drive, and we're discussing on one-to-one basis with Abby LeMay, life, the universe from her base in Canada, just north of the border between savagery and civilization. You can decide which one that happens to be on that system. I'm sure Phil Leonis would actually have one or two things to say, but it's not for nothing. I've actually decided to release my inner cute wolf, which is great in that perspective. It's great. And all of these Avatar references can actually go and work through that basis, which is the next little question, Abby. Who would be your secret spiritual animal guide? Who would, or not so secret, basically, who would you actually like to see as your own personal Abby Avatar?
That is a good question. I don't know why. Honestly, I don't have a reason for it, but just a bunny is coming to mind, like a rabbit. I don't really have a good explanation, but that's just the first thing I can think of, honest to goodness. I think they're just small and fluffy and cute. And I think that would probably be my spirit animal.
Yeah, you can tell I was thinking about my cute eyes, and so I was like, really, a bunny? Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, I thought it might have actually been a cat. It could have, but I mean, if you go bunny, I'll see if I can find my own. Let's go for my own little bunny. Is this in a sense, am I mirroring? Effectively, to use that term, am I mirroring your own inner bunny in terms of using this?
That is amazing, and I love the pink t-shirt as well.
Yeah.
Everything's very color coordinated.
If we're going to do a beta test for various other areas, we need to actually ensure that things do work. That's the provisional thing. But we might use this and sort of ensure that that's actually put up in terms of at least one of the traditional social media, which could well be Meta, I suppose, these days, because we don't refer to it as anything else, because obviously that's what we need to refer to the company as, Meta, like Meta Narrative and so on. So progressing onwards then, what are the other high spots that you've had so far in 2022?
Well, I would say just back to, you know, my job right now, I have progressed rather quickly. So it was being in pharmaceutical sales. I mean, you know, I was studying English in school, so it's a very far leap, and it wasn't any sort of career I was expecting. But luckily for me, I kind of fell into the role, and I've been excelling, and I've had multiple promotions. And so I think within the the year of 2022, I'm just really proud of how far I've come in my job and, you know, the milestones that I'm reaching in that sense. And then I'm hoping by the end of the year, the high points will be more travel based because I've been very work focused. So all of my high points are work focused. And then I'm hoping now that I'm a bit more settled into my role, I can shift that over to travel focused.
We're duly sort of applauding you, Abby, in every sense of the word. That sort of golden applause on that system, which is wonderful. So well done there. And we continue to sort of obviously praise you as we knew you would. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised. You know, this is Abby LeMay we're talking about here. You know, we knew from the first time we encountered her in a seminar room in Lincoln, she was going to go all the way. And indeed, rightly so, she has. Just to actually confirm, because obviously I and a buddy, this is Ontario, I presume, that's behind me, or am I sort of confusing things completely?
Looks like it. I mean, I think the CN Tower is behind your head there.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to move the head out of the way. There it goes.
Yes, sure it is. CN Tower, Rogers Center, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way forward. And how far away is that from where you're speaking to us now?
Well, if I were to come down to the CN Tower, it'd be about a 25 minute walk.
Well,
maybe right. 30 minute walk, not too far. I am quite downtown, but it's too hot for a walk now. I can't even imagine walking all the way down there.
Yeah. And if you did go out, you'd obviously have to wear sunscreen, copious amounts of sunscreen. That's very critical on the whole sort of system, that sunscreen is actually used and sorted through on that basis. Let's just turn myself off and go back to almost normality for the whole thing. As you can see, this is an avatar that I also like to use every so often, just to actually sort of confuse people, you never quite know.
Go back exactly. to what's familiar.
I think it's called human being. I mean, that's the what I'm trying to use, but.
It's like AI. Yeah.
And it just shows, you know, it's difficult. It almost looks real to life. You know, it's actually synchronized the voice movements with the actual sound that's coming through. I've been so impressed, you know. But there we are. Abby, it has been terrific, more beyond words, that we've connected with your good self. We've had a bit of Elvis Presley. Is there any other musical treat you'd like us to wrap up this sequence with?
Oh, that is a great question. I don't know if you guys even really listen to it very much, but I've been kind of switching over to country music, which I haven't listened to country music in years, but being from Southern Ontario, it is quite popular. So if you guys have any Luke Combs in there, or Eric Church, or Blake Shelton.
So Luke Combs, Eric Church, any particular tracks?
No, really, pick from what you have.
Since you turned the tables on me, I've been steady learning lonely, keeping this turntable spinning. Everything from Jones to Jennings, slowly planning my survival in a 3-foot stack of vinyl. Since you had to walk out of here, I've been having a record year. I bet you thought before you left, I just sit in silence by myself, turn this house into jail, dying slow when I'm living hell. But love's got a funny way of keeping score, and you're leaving lit up my scoreboard. I usually make it through Saturday sober, all bets are off when I flip her over. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer, I'm having a record year. Cut a notes and Hank's halftime, song to song, I pass my time with these speakers on 10. Your good and gone keeps me up all night, along with songs and the key of life. I'm either gonna get over you, or I'm gonna blow out my ears. Yeah, you're out there now, doing God knows how, and I'm stuck here, having a record year. 4 mile record year. Put a notes and Hank's halftime. A pound of gold is a heart of mine. Song to song, I pass my time with these speakers on 10. Your good and gone keeps me up all night, along with songs and a key of life. I'm either gonna get over you or I'm gonna blow out my ears. Yeah, you're out there now doing God knows how, but I'm stuck here. Having a record year. Yeah, I'm having a record year.
Big from what we have. Okay, well, you've heard it there, Abby. It's going to take us into travel writer Simon Calder and his own views on slow travel using the train, if you can find a train that obviously works these days, because that's another line entirely. Just out of interest, Abby, you may not have any interest at all, so I say out of interest, but who would you prefer to be the next Prime Minister of Britain? Would you actually prefer it to be Rishi Sunak, or would you actually prefer it to be Liz Truss? Or effectively, is it a case of, look, we might be still one of their Commonwealth partners, but ultimately, I don't care at all what's going on with respect to the whole sequence. The only thing I want to actually ensure is the case is that you don't simply actually return the bloke who actually simply just left, because he was far too much like a miniature Trump to actually sort of have anything to do with the whole sort of system. And just to prove that sometimes AI can get out of hand. I mean, isn't that a scary sight? You know, I mean, it's just... Yeah, it's so scary in so many ways. So who would you prefer to actually see as our next Prime Minister of the UK?
I really and truly cannot say. I didn't even
know. Is that because you know that once you actually outline who's going to actually be part of that whole system, then inevitably that's going to be the winner?
No, I wish I knew. Honest to goodness, I'm feeling disappointed in myself. I had no idea there was an election going on. And usually my social media will tell me when the elections are happening and who's running. So I'm feeling like I've missed some great, important debate.
It's not so much an election. It is an election, but the only people who can actually vote in this particular election are people of the Conservative Party. So if you're not a member of the Conservative Party, you don't get a vote. So because it is the leader of the Conservative Party who indirectly will be the Prime Minister, who will be, in fact, directly will be Prime Minister, will be the choice. So it's not as though it's being put to the people of the country. So that might be one of the reasons why maybe it hasn't sort of gone through the whole system. But given that obviously, you know, any democracy has to have its leaders selected by 4% of the actual area, if not less, who would you like to see in place? Or have you ever heard of Liz Truss or indeed Rishi Sunak?
I have not. But you know what? I hope who wins is compassionate and caring and considerate of the people in the UK and not just, you know, money hungry, power hungry, which, you know, we have seen before. So that's all I can hope for. I don't know who's representing what, but my fingers are crossed that the right person gets in, because it's been a rough couple of years.
And any chance, Abby, that you'd be standing for Prime Minister of Canada in the near future?
Absolutely not. Literally would hate any career in politics. It just seems like a lot of moving pieces and a lot of stress and a lot of, you know, small wins. I feel like you can never really win in politics. Somebody's always going to be upset. So I'd never want to put myself in a situation like that. And it really is out of my realm.
Yeah, that's exactly why Abby LeMay should actually be the next Prime Minister of Canada, because, you know, she doesn't want the post, as George Washington once said. I know he was talking about the United States of America, but the person who actually wants the post is the last person you want as Prime Minister or President. So there we are. Prime Minister Abby LeMay, we have two final questions to put to yourself. You know what they are, kind of. Do you know, first of all, have you had a reasonably interesting Zuma with us on the Midweek Drive today?
I absolutely have. I've quite enjoyed myself. Thank you very much.
And it's quite fun in a sense. I mean, although we had thought we might be joined by one of our colleagues from North Carolina, Jessica Bursis, we thought that Kathy Manso might have connected from Lincoln, although she's originally from Miami, Florida. In the end, I figure it's been quite a nice sort of balance that we've actually had. So, critical question, can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future?
Yes, I would love to. I have missed you so much. I'm so happy to have seen you again.
Now, is that me or is that Avatar me? Who knows where we could be going? I mean, you could have all sorts of things here.
Why not?
For you, Abby, I'll just do whatever one thing you want.
Outside of this one church town, there's a gold dirt road to a whole lot of nothing. Got a deed to the land, but it ain't my ground. This is God's country. We pray for rain and thank Him when it's falling, cause it brings a grain and a little bit of money. We put it back in a plate, I guess that's why they call it God's country. I saw the light in a sunrise, sitting back in a 40 on the muddy riverside, getting baptized in holy water and shine with the dogs running. Saved by the sound of a been found Dixie whistle in the wind, that'll get you heaven bound. The devil went down to Georgia, but he didn't stick around. This is God's country. We turn the dirt and work until the week's done. We take a break and break bread on Sunday, then do it all again, cause we're proud to be from God's country. I saw the light in a sunrise, sitting back in a 40 on the muddy riverside, getting baptized in holy water and shine with the dogs running. Saved by the sound of a been found Dixie whistle in the wind, that'll get you heaven bound. The devil went down to Georgia, but he didn't stick around. This is God's country.
Responsible travel and responsible tourism, it's something which we've been frequently talking about on the Midweek Drive, and who better to actually talk about the way in which the recent UK heatwave has also heightened the concern for climate change and actually sustainable tourism, etc. Well, it has to be travel writer and broadcaster extraordinaire Simon Calder. Welcome back to the Midweek Drive, Simon. How are you?
Well, very, very good to talk to you on what an incredible day. Very, very busy. It's the biggest getaway, I think, since 2019. And I'm talking to you from beautiful King's Cross Station in central London. Hub, of course, for the East Coast mainline, which your lovely listeners will be very familiar with. And it's everyone here I've spoken to, and it's busy, but all flowing well. Very excited to be traveling by a very relaxed form of transport.
And there we have it. And indeed, it's this research by the London North Eastern Railway that suggested that actually travel is an area being reconsidered by British folk looking to make a change. At least, Simon, you didn't say you were actually going to be speaking to us from the traffic jams at Dover, because that's another issue entirely.
Well, exactly as you say, sympathy with those people. Of course, it's awful, particularly if they were thinking, well, we'll avoid all the airport hassle by going on the ferry. But that's not working well at the moment. So, the answer seems to be stay in the UK and also to change the way that you're traveling. Can I just tell you about an extraordinary survey which LNER, London North Eastern Railway, did immediately after the very, very hot days we had at the start of the week. They asked people about their views on the impact of climate change on our weather and what they might do to help. And it was quite extraordinary. Two-thirds of people in the East Midlands say that they're worried to make, that they're willing to make changes to their travel plans to lower their carbon footprint. And nationwide, yep, 9 out of 10 people believe that climate change has contributed to the hot weather. So it's people are most definitely changing the way that they think about their lives and hopefully making those changes which are going to benefit the environment and hopefully themselves as well.
The other area that, of course, we've covered over the last few months has been the increasing fondness for slow travel. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean to say that you are going to use Shank's pony to actually wander around the whole place, but it does mean as though that mindfulness, I mean, the old line, Simon, I suppose, better to travel hopefully than to arrive, springs to mind.
Yes, look, people are enjoying the journey, and that's partly where the railways really score, of course. If you've travelled north from, say, Grantham at 125 miles an hour, all the way up through York to Durham, I think the East Coast Main Line beyond there becomes absolutely spectacular. And, of course, if you're on a high-speed electric train, you can look out the window and enjoy the journey and really benefit from everything that rail travel has to offer, as well as the knowledge that, of course, you're having much less of an impact on the environment that you would perhaps with other forms of transport.
You mentioned that you're connecting with us via from King's Cross. Of course, LNER also launched the second edition of the Green Guide, which actually looks at sustainable options for visiting some of the most popular destinations. Delighted to see, Simon, that two of my all-time favourites are there, not only Lincoln, but also Harrogate as well. You've also got Inverness in there.
Oh, yes, Inverness. If you've not been there, my goodness me, well worth making the journey for a start. It's an incredibly beautiful ride, but also a vibrant city, of course. It's really the heart of the Highlands, and from there you can get out and about into the mountains or on Loch Ness, all very, very good, or the Murray Firth, where the dolphins, I think, are in fine fettle at the moment. But yes, these green guides are a really smart idea, and they're available free online. Just search for LNER and then Green Guides, and they take you to each of those lovely cities, and they tell you how you can find places which are sustainable to eat, drink, shop, stay, and even things such as where to rent your e-bike from, so you can explore the area more enjoyably than you would do if you were just driving around. And so yes, this is the second edition of the Green Guide after the first one, which included wonderful opportunities in Newcastle and Edinburgh.
And Simon, are you a fan of slow travel? I mean, I always get the sense with yourself, there are so many articles to be written, so many countries to be visited, you're kind of going around like a whirling dervish at times.
No, absolutely not. I'm never happier than when I'm on the train. But I suppose, yeah, I'm not sure that slow travel is exactly the term for it, because you're traveling generally at very high speed, but able to enjoy the journey. And interestingly, the survey by LNER found that almost half the people in the East Midlands say their number one priority on holiday is to disconnect from their busy lives. So yes, it's going to be a lovely summer to travel. Just be kind to yourself and don't get overstressed with the traveling bit.
sage words as ever. Simon, where can people go to find out further details about the LNER Summer 22 edition of the Green Guide? Let's remind folk one more time.
Okay, just go to lner.co.uk/Green Guide, or if you can't remember that, and I personally can't, then just search online for LNER and then Green Guides, and you will find those lovely guides to Harrogate, to Lincoln, and to Inverness.
Superb answers as ever, Simon, and obviously on the button, on the nose. Do you intend to actually move from King's Cross later on today, or is it a case of, no, I'm loving King's Cross so much, I'm just going to stay here for the summer?
It is. It's a lovely... Well, tell you what, we're in the lounge. Can you believe it? If you know the right people, you can get into the lounge, and it's an absolutely beautiful broadcast spot, as well as being a place of unlimited tea and biscuits. So I can't personally think of anything else. So yeah, maybe I will just holiday here.
Well, all we have to say at this particular point is, once again, many thanks, and to your good self, Simon Calder. Happy continued travelling, Simon.
Well, look, thank you very much indeed. It's a pleasure to talk to you this morning, and thank you very much indeed for your very good and insightful questions.
Clearly, with respect to recent inflation figures, that's going through the roof. But what about the impact on ordinary people, and in particular young people? It's a very sobering thought that Centrepoint have recently produced research which suggests that young people, indeed under a third of young people, are skipping meals, followed by the whole challenge of the cost of living crisis, also skipping rent, and also stopping feeding their children. These are challenging figures and findings at the best of times, and certainly in a country which purports to actually be civilized, certainly I would suggest is probably unacceptable. So to actually talk us through some of the findings of Centrepoint in this particular survey of young people aged between 16 and 25 years of age, we're delighted to welcome Centrepoint's senior dietitian. That's Heather Patterson. How are you, Heather?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. But as you say, yeah, from that perspective, I mean, young people bearing the brunt of the cost of living crisis, I mean, that's certainly not very equitable, is it?
No, it's certainly not. Certainly, as you said, in this day and age, it's very tricky. You know, people are going to bed hungry. We have on our survey, half of the young people went to bed hungry, quarter of young people missing out on education and employment and opportunities that go with that. So it's a wide-ranging, consequences of all of this as well.
And this clearly becomes a bit of a vicious circle, because if you aren't on top form and actually in peak condition to actually do your studies or actually carry out your work, that will actually lead to less positive job prospects or indeed employment prospects, etc. And it kind of goes round and round. I mean, is it feasible that we could look to break this cycle of despair?
It is absolutely that vicious cycle, and it's very hard to break it. Young people at this stage can't budget their way out of this. And so it needs a financial investment in our young people. So that means universal credit. It means, specific funds for young people. And therefore, because what we're finding is that we have some impaired in intellectual development. You know, this can impair your life into your 50s and 60s if your deficits in kind of some of the nutrients, so the vitamins and minerals that are needed. So, for instance, we're putting our young people at risk of things like osteoporosis, which is just untenable. Mm.
I mean, looking at the figures, which are, as I say, very startling, the fact that young people in this particular area are having to live on a £4.60 a week to pay for food, travel and leisure activities. Now, I mean, effectively, if we look at the whole sort of system from that, you're not going to get a great deal for £46 a week, let alone £4.60 a week. So on that basis alone, it does seem as though we need to look to address this. Has that the loss of the £20 a week that obviously was introduced by the Chancellor Rishi Sunak during the pandemic, has that kind of also impacted negatively in terms of people's experience?
That's absolutely correct. It's huge, you know, impacts on our young people. You know, when you consider that it is £4.60, that extra £20 can go a very long way. And therefore, it's a funding crisis here. So we need to support our young people with, we're lobbying for, you know, for that to be, that £20 to be reinstated. But obviously it takes more than £20 as well. So there has to be a kind of a multi-pronged approach to this to support our very vulnerable young people.
Now, we mentioned, obviously, the former Chancellor. I mean, clearly there's a current sort of battle for the leadership of the Conservative Party and obviously directly leading on to a new Prime Minister and so on. I mean, it's been noticeable that none of the candidates have really expressed any response at all to this particular area. I mean, is that something which, in a sense, it's just the fault of the mainstream media for not challenging the candidates and actually saying, look, what are you going to do about people who are literally in the 16 to 25 year old bracket and are literally slipping through the cracks?
They are, definitely. I think it has to be, they have to be questioned, and they have to, we have to raise awareness of this issue. Like I said, young people were vulnerable before this, before the pandemic, before the COVID, before the cost of living crisis increased, and therefore they're even more vulnerable right now. So the situation with the government changes is that it's very unsettling for us as a charity, very unsettling for people who provide money to us as well. Some people are very generous in their donations, and which really supports us as a charity. But actually, people might think twice about doing this in this unsettling and unstable market, as it has become just recently. So the impact, again, is dire for our young people.
Okay, it's looking as though the glass is certainly half empty at this stage. But is there a chance, Heather, that we can look to at least turn it around slightly? If people are listening to this, there are no people who might be in this particular instance. They might actually be, in the case of Lincolnshire, listening to Siren Radio. They might be a young person themselves who are having to cope with the bare minimum. What advice would you give them?
I would advise to get in touch with Centrepoint. We do so much work with young people from all walks of life and in all areas of life. So we support people not just into housing, but we support people into education and employment. We support with health in terms of supporting people with substance use or relationship needs, mental health issues, and also psychotherapy, as well as dietetics, which supports people with nutrition to underpin everything that we've just talked about. So I would advise getting in touch with Centrepoint. You're not alone. We can support you.
Heather Patterson, Centrepoint's senior dietitian. Many thanks. And let's hope that when next we speak, Heather, that the prognosis is a little bit brighter.
Absolutely. Thank you.